let's do the thing.
Welcome to Room Full of Nerd Stuff number Raw Reactor. 33. Sorry.
Yay.
Yay.
I guess I should probably get some thing up.
Some thing up?
If we're going to talk wrestling, I should get like results or news or something.
SummerSlam was last week. We'll talk about that in a minute. That'll be the bulk of our show, I'm sure. I will say right off the bat, I thought it was a really good pay-per-view all around. There were a few dead spots and a few things that frustrated me, and I may have fallen asleep during one match. That was mostly my fault. I'd been up a little long, and I'd eaten a really big dinner. But
yeah, with your sleep schedule, falling asleep while watching wrestling is not necessarily the show's fault.
Let's be honest. You're giving me too much credit by calling it a schedule.
Yeah, your sleep habits, we should say.
Your sleep. I've been awake how long, Thump? The fuck? Oh, the washing machine just finished. I was like, what the fuck's that noise? All right, I'll throw this in the dryer later.
I'm really hoping you've hit record by now.
I have.
Okay, I figured as much. Just thought I would double check, because we seem to go right into our radio voices, straight from, like, just our pre-show conversation.
You ever out, like, shopping with your parents, and suddenly you realize you're using your podcast voice, and everybody's staring at you?
I really need this cheese. Why am I talking like this?
Well, you see, the cheese... an interesting note I found like a few minutes ago before we started recording, though, somebody shares the highlights of the Wrestling Observer newsletter on fan forums every week or whenever it comes out. Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting one. One of our readers who subscribed to the network and then his credit card expired called customer service to renew. He was told to just start up a new subscription as his old subscription was closed after the card expired and he didn't respond to emails letting him know. When asked about the 4 months left, he was told, don't worry about that. When people cancel or stop paying, we just close their account and don't charge them anything. He questioned that, saying he didn't want to get a surprise bill after subscribing. He was told the company policy regarding the network at this point was not to enforce the 6-month agreement, not wanting to get a negative reaction from consumers on the network, but they just hoped people didn't know they could cancel at any time.
You can cancel whatever you want, but we're just not going to tell you that.
6-month commitment. I mean, not really, but, you know, a 6-month, you know.
6-month commitment, if you want. I mean, well, there's a thing.
So there's that follow-up to something we've discussed in the past. If you want to cancel the network, just cancel it.
Yeah, just
who
do
cares?
It.
I still haven't renewed mine. Mine expires September 3rd. I will probably wind up renewing, but I don't like auto-renew, so I turn that shit off.
I figured they've just been taking $10 a month out so far. It's not gonna...
Oh, yeah, no, as do I. I don't let any company auto-renew.
Yeah.
I have the option. I would much rather tell you to take the money instead of you doing, well, we're just gonna keep doing this. And another quick note. Last week we talked about Del Rio being fired and mentioned he had a 90-day non-compete clause. Well, I can't talk. Non-compete clause.
Non-compete.
Non-complete. It turns out that actually in America, because he was found to be in breach of contract for the incident that they terminated him for, he actually has a 1-year no-compete clause in America. That doesn't apply to Mexico. Also, it doesn't apply to Del Rio because he doesn't give a shit because he showed up at Triple Mania the night of SummerSlam.
Well, as far as I knew, he could show up. He could even be shown on television. He just couldn't.
Yeah, he just can't have a match. Yeah. They did ask... not him, I think they asked Conan or somebody about the fact that they even used Del Rio's theme music when he showed up. He said Mexico just doesn't care about trademarks.
Well, yeah, because there is, like, different countries have different rules on trademarks, so, I mean, I don't know how Mexico is. It might be out of the jurisdiction where they can use it, and WWE can say no, and they can say, fuck you, we're gonna anyway, and they have no real legal recourse there.
we're going to do it anyways. So there's that. It is also being stated now that Triple H had told him when he let him go, he said, just keep your nose clean, we'll let the heat die down, and in 6 months we'll bring you back. And Cena and Orton and a few other guys backstage said they would personally fight for Del Rio to come back, and Del Rio said, eh, fuck it.
Except Del Rio has said himself, I think, that he wasn't going to re-sign when his contract came up, like, in just a couple months anyway. So, yeah, don't worry, just keep your nose clean and we'll bring you back. But I don't want to come back.
Yeah, so there's that. So before we get into SummerSlam 2, a little subject we don't talk about very often on the show, the little wrestling promotion that could, TNA Wrestling.
Now we've talked about it a bit.
Not often. They've made some moves lately. The show's moving to Wednesday.
Yes, because SmackDown is moving to Thursday.
Which is, they went from Thursday to Monday, and then they went back to Thursday because Raw chased them off Thursday, and now they're being chased to Wednesday.
And they're just trying to avoid the head-to-head with WWE at all costs. After, I think, Monday, that little experiment blew up in their face so badly. We don't want to be up against any competition.
Where is the least amount of wrestling?
Well, now they're going to have that problem. They already have it with NXT. I think more people are watching that on the network than watching TNA right now. So when they move NXT to Wednesdays too, well, sorry, guys.
WWE is just going to put wrestling like every day of the week just to fuck with TNA. Then there is also the
I don't know that they're doing it to fuck with TNA, but it's certainly fucking with
it's them. Having that effect.
Yeah. They just want more programming. It just happens to negatively be affecting TNA. Couldn't negatively affect them any worse than Vince Russo.
I'll agree with that. Old Vic Venom fucked them over. There was also some more things going on with Vince's release. I guess they were pissed at him right before they let him go. There were two reasons. I can't remember one of them, but I know the second was that he was going to have Daphne on his podcast, which TNA did not really like, given that I think they still have an ongoing lawsuit with her. Well, it was resolved, I think.
Yeah, which, if they're really that grumpy about it, that you're having someone on your podcast completely unaffiliated with our program that sued us. Yeah. JR has TNA guys on his podcast. WWE doesn't yell at him.
Yeah. That's just spite. Or TNA. Or spite. Maybe it's both. I don't know. May as well be at this point. And then there's, of course, the biggest TNA news to come down this week. Bully Ray done with the company.
Bully Ray done with the company right after going on JR's podcast and saying, company's fine. Giving a talk to the locker room, like at some big like employee meeting. Don't worry, guys. Company's fine. We're going to find TV again. Everything's going to be great. No one's losing their jobs. And then, yeah, like 2 days later, like, we're not going to re-sign you. Sorry, Bully.
We like to make fun of the company, but we haven't really, like, sounded the death knell or anything yet. It's like, they could still rebound. They could still get that deal re-signed. It's not like he's going to, by himself, light the wrestling world on fire anywhere else. Don't get me wrong, he's been amazing in TNA. I'd love to see him show up in WWE or somewhere and keep running with that. But
my first thought, though, was like, okay, Bully left TNA. Kevin Steen left ROH. Can we get them together in WWE? Can we get those two fighting each other? Because I think that would be really cool.
I mean, it's not like there's anyone. They just put Bully on that part-timer schedule they're so fond of over in WWE.
Or just bring the Dudleys back.
I don't know. Can they afford to buy Devon's super expensive TNA contract?
Wait, did he re-sign?
His contract expires in a few months.
Okay. Yeah, just wait it out, then bring back the Dudley boys.
Oh, man. If you see some, like, kind of chunky masked guy show up on an Impact Wrestling taping in a few weeks, you know what's going on. Now, I feel like even more so than AJ Styles and Jarrett and Sting and all of those people leaving, I feel like Bully Ray leaving is the one true sign that things are not good for TNA Wrestling.
Yeah, he was easily their most over guy. Weird to say about Bubba, but I mean, he made himself a main eventer. And now, who do they really have that's of that caliber?
It's Mr. Anderson.
Yeah.
This is trying to find the mention.
I still remember like when he got fired from WWE and everyone being like, they got rid of Kennedy. I can't believe that. TNA could really use someone like that. And then he shows up in TNA and it's like, wow, WWE really saved themselves a lot of trouble. This guy's not that good.
I can't believe people don't like Diet Stone Cold Steve Austin. This is all happening at the same time as there was a house show report for the September 25th Impact Wrestling. Did you read the opening for the September 25th Impact? MVP cuts a promo on Lashley and then calls out Chris Melendez, the new guy, former military veteran. With a prosthetic leg.
Okay. Zach Gowen, if he was in the Marines.
Yes. It's Zach Gowen and Crimson, like, smashed together to form one giant, still disabled person.
Who was their Navy guy? Jesse Neal.
I don't know who that is, but okay, sounds good. We'll go with
that.
He
was this big tattooed motherfucker who was in the Navy, and apparently his ship went down, and that was the big thing, that he was, like, one of the few survivors of his ship sinking, and I don't know if that's true.
So they try to recruit Melendez to be part of whatever their little stable going on in TNA is. He turns them down. He has a match with Kenny King. Kenny King cuts a promo before the match, calling him Peg Leg and going to teach you some respect. They have a match. Melendez gets the pin with a sunset flip, but he's laid out. Kenny King then cuts another promo saying Melendez is laying there just like he laid there when he had his leg blown off in Iraq and tries to rip his prosthetic leg off in an angle that the crowd did not react well to.
No, you'd think?
And then Mr. Anderson hits the ring for the save.
We're gonna kick your ass, Stumpy. Jesus.
We've got this military veteran and we're really hyping up that he's a military vet who lost his leg. What do we do? Let's make fun of him for that.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. They're heels.
I get the heel thing, but there comes a point when you have to say to yourself, maybe we should. We're on thin ice with the whole TV deal already. Maybe we shouldn't be pissing off the military while we're here, too.
Yeah. Especially considering, like, every time, like, WWE is in a military town, you see, like, the whole two front rows filled with military people. It's clear that military guys are fans of wrestling. Don't piss off the military by screwing up one guy.
Now, remember, that's what got Finley released, though, because they tried to do a gimmick, something like that, where they had The Miz come out and interrupt the national anthem, and that pissed off the military so much they had to release Finley to kind of go, no, look, we fixed it.
Yeah.
So
they had a show at a National Guard base, I think it was.
And there were a bunch of active duty people there, like you were mentioning, always filling up the front two rows. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they just didn't take too kindly to the national anthem being interrupted. I can't imagine why. TNA. Oh, yeah. I get it, being heels. Do the heel thing. And that's a great heel thing. If you want to get some heel heat, that would be the way to do it. But Kenny King's not going to know what to do with that fucking heel heat. MVP will just take a screwdriver to him again.
Remember, kids, attempted murder is fine as long as it's in wrestling.
That's one of those stories everybody's like, that story probably got so overblown. MVP was probably just like, hey, Triple H, catch this screwdriver, and tried to toss him a screwdriver. Some asshole backstage went, dirt sheet report. News. So that's TNA.
Yeah.
They've
got their TV deal back.
Yeah.
So we'll get more of that quality entertainment.
Good old TNA. So, that being said, on to our main event.
Yay.
See what I did there?
That.
See what I did there? It's a thing.
Wrestling.
This past week was SummerSlam, this past Sunday. Mm-hmm. The 27th annual SummerSlam, the sixth consecutive at the Staples Center, the last one at the Staples Center. I was surprised to hear that.
Last one for now.
For now. Going to New York, New Jersey, probably the same arena they used for 29, presumably. They haven't announced it yet. Well,
the arena that they used for WrestleMania 29 was like a football stadium. I don't think they're doing that for... for SummerSlam.
Well, they did pack out the Staples Center.
Yeah, but it's like just an arena. Yeah. That's just like where they have basketball games and shit, not a football stadium.
True. But they did announce the going to New York next year for SummerSlam 28, I guess you would call it. I like the new logo. Definitely better than what they have now.
They're going with very sort of clean logos.
They're definitely
minimalist, yeah, clean looking, and some of me likes it, some of me doesn't.
I feel like that SummerSlam logo works. For WrestleMania, it would be a little too simple.
Yeah.
The Rumble logo, I think, has been too simple for a long time. It's just that kind of... I can't even think of the name for that font.
It's just some, like, stencil font.
That's it, stencil font. It's very simple. Anyways...
They're all better than that Bash logo they had a couple years ago.
SummerSlam, a 3-hour pay-per-view with only about an hour and a half of wrestling. The match times on this are so short, I didn't realize it while I was watching it. That means it was a good pay-per-view, because you didn't realize there was a lot of people just kind of standing around for most of the show. Kicking things off on the pre-show, Rob Van Dam and Cesaro in his continued fall from grace.
God, what the hell happened?
What the hell happened?
What happened to Cesaro?
It's like he and Jack Swagger swapped bodies, and WWE was like, maybe nobody will notice.
Yeah. I think Vince at some point said, I want that one guy from the Real Americans to get a push, and the creative didn't know which one he was talking about, so they started with Cesaro. And he was like, no, the other one!
That sounds accurate enough to be a real Vince McMahon story, actually, is a sad part. Cesaro ate the pin after a 5-star frog splash in an 8-minute pre-show match. God, it's not bad enough Cesaro's on the pre-show. He's jobbing to RVD now.
Yeah, the guy who's leaving, I think, after SmackDown, I think that's his last show.
I think so, yeah.
He's jobbing to the guy who's supposed to be putting guys over.
RVD doesn't put people over? He'll be back. He's just got to go home and take a nap and eat some Funyuns. He'll be fine. He'll be back in time for the Royal Rumble. That's honestly what I would predict we'll see him again. He'll probably show up at the Royal Rumble. Oh, my God. We didn't think we'd see him here.
He'll be one of the, quote, surprise guys.
Surprise!
Along with Kevin Nash and Booker T and the guys who are there every year and aren't really a surprise anymore.
Bad News Barrett is still like, Papa Shango! After that, starting out the show, by the way, you didn't see a lot of Cesaro versus Rob Van Dam. They did cut to a Lesnar versus Cena commercial halfway through the match.
I don't get that on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Why are you hyping the show that we're already watching if we're watching the pre-show?
Just in case you were like, oh, by SummerSlam, I wonder what the main event is. Well, I'm just going to pay $60 anyways.
You just flip to the pay-per-view channel that the pre-show's running on and forget that there's an actual pay-per-view on.
Oh, my son accidentally purchased a pay-per-view. I'm so angry. What's that? Brock Lesnar and John Cena? Well, son, you are forgiven.
Can't wait to watch this one. Anyway.
Kicking off SummerSlam, Dolph Ziggler. I almost said Dolph Miggler.
That would be when him and Miz, their feud winds down. They have nothing to do with them, so they team them up.
They team them up?
Be the team of Miggler.
Miggler, we're here to show the world we're awesome.
Yes.
Ziggler defeats The Miz to win the Intercontinental Championship, likely done to kind of offset the fact that a lot of heels won titles at SummerSlam. Good match. I'm happy Ziggler got the belt. With Lesnar mostly going to be gone, that kind of makes Ziggler the top champion on the shows right now.
Wait.
What?
Sheamus.
Oh, nobody cares about that fucking United States belt.
Which they should. It has better history than the IC belt. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Sheamus is like, fella, over here. Go to SmackDown, Sheamus. Oh.
If you need me, fella, I have another match with Randy Orton.
Look, if you don't need me, fella, I got a whole barrel of potatoes waiting on me backstage. Where's Sheamus? He's just back there, like, gnawing on potatoes. I'm so Irish. I'm just so Irish.
It's like some bad scene out of a military comedy where he's just got this pile of potatoes that he's peeling.
Damn it, Seamus, stop eating the potatoes. Those are for the troops. Oh, I'm sorry, fella.
Anyway. that's our segue.
Speaking of potatoes, that was followed up, I don't know, by Paige and AJ for the Divas Championship. A really good match that I didn't realize was 5 minutes long while I was watching it.
No, that was longer than that.
4 minutes, 57 seconds, bell to bell.
Come on, that felt a lot longer than that.
Well, it's because it was a slutty, dirty, rough match.
They did good.
They did great. They'd have done better with another 5 or 10 minutes, but, you know. They had to allot time for Rusev to strut out to the ring.
To waddle out there.
Rusev walks slowly. Rusev angry. No. Paige, two times Divas champion. First Divas champion to win it twice in a year. Because who gives a shit about that belt? It never changes hands. Unless you have Paige and AJ Lee fighting over it, evidently. I'm sure it'll just kind of be Paige and AJ Lee for a little bit until they decide to stick it on Brie Bella, because Brie Bella. Brie Bella.
Because Brie Bella.
She's just gonna go into Brie mode.
Of the two, would you rather have it on Nikki? I mean,
I'd rather it be on Paige. I'd rather the Bella Twins just go do Total Divas and not show up on Raw.
There's a few of them that I wish would just go do Total Divas and not show up on Raw.
Nikki, Brie, Eva Marie, you know, really just those four. The other Divas don't piss me off that much.
Cameron.
Oh, yeah, Cameron. Fuck Cameron.
Only two that I think can stay is Naomi and Natalya.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
The others, fuck them. Whatever.
I don't hate Summer Rae. She's all right.
Yeah.
And Rose is a decent valet, but she should never be allowed to have a... Well, I guess you call those matches when she participates.
Hey,
she botched standing still.
She got a win, finally, in that, like, handicap match against Vicky Guerrero.
I don't think those count for her record.
She got a win.
She's going to put a check mark in that W column one day.
Yeah.
Only been... One-on-one match with somebody, like, leaving. Somebody's like, I guess I got to go out on my back.
Only been with the company for, like, 7 years.
Longer than that, I think. Never had a win. Not even in OVW. She didn't even have a win in fucking developmental. God, she just... I guess she just flies as... free as a bird or something. Get it? Because Rusev and Swagger was next. The flag match.
You mean the normal average wrestling match that had flags in the corner? Not even like in the corner, on the floor.
Flag match. Every single 2013 Alberto Del Rio match was a flag match. With those little Mexican flags and the goddamn turnbuckles. Alberto Del Rio did a year of flag. God damn, that pissed me off. We spent 2 weeks of the podcast trying to figure out the rules to a flag match. 2 weeks! We spent more time on this match than creative did.
Oh, God.
That was one of the things that infuriated me. Before the bell even rang, you could tell creative just did not fucking put any effort into this.
It's going to be a flag match. Why is it going to be a flag match? Because countries and flags?
Just flags. Just put the picture of Putin up and have Lana say something slightly racist. So, the match wasn't terrible.
No, the match itself I actually really enjoyed. That's why I didn't understand why you were like, that flag match was so infuriating. I was like, it was pretty good.
Well, there was the flag thing, because...
I love, as per the rules of a flag match, we have to have the flag draped over the ring and play the national anthem. I have never seen a flag match that ended with that.
Nothing was even on a pole. There was also, I was mainly irked because of the flag match rules, but it really stood out to me when it was all like, Rusev's ankle's really badly hurt as he stood on it to throw a kick.
at least he attempted to sell it throughout the match, which is more than most guys do.
The match made up for it with its... I thought it had a really good ending, even though it was evident creative just basically sat around and watched Brett versus Austin. But it was a really good ending, I thought, with Swagger passing out in the accolade.
He didn't tap.
He didn't tap.
You let Old Glory touch the floor. God damn it, Jack Swagger. You let down every American in the world.
Finlay's going to get fired again. Who's going to break up all these fights on Raw now?
And they still got Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble.
Oh, yeah. Those two are going to come out and break them up. Come on, you guys. Knock it off. Kevin Dunn, come help us. Good match. I liked it, though. Better than Rusev's usual matches, which are just crush, destroy, Rusev. Blah.
Well, it worked because that's pretty much all he's done so far. I mean, no one's really gotten any offense in against him. And this was the first match where he actually had to have a match. And it worked.
It worked. Did the job. Which is what Rusev will probably be doing next month at Night of Champions, Jack Swagger. Next up after that, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose in the Lumberjack match. Real quick, the Lumberjacks were Big E, Bo Dallas, Cesaro, Curtis Axel, Damian Sandow, who was, of course, dressed as a Lumberjack.
In the middle of summer.
In the middle of summer in California.
Yeah, wearing like a flannel coat and one of those Russian hats with the flaps.
Eric Woen? Mowens is a Eric Woen. Eric Rowan, Fandango, Goldust, friend of the Raw Reactor, Heath Slater, Jay and Jimmy Uso, Kofi Kingston, Luke Harper, R-Truth, Rob Van Dam, Ryback, Sin Cara, Stardust, The Great Khali, and Titus O'Neil. No, I don't have Wikipedia open right now. Why do you ask?
He just knows it all.
Zack Ryder can't even make it on the card with a fucking Lumberjack match.
Well, they said before that it's just everyone that was ever wronged by the Shield.
I know, but it was just so funny. It was like, Zack Ryder's not even in the Lumberjack match now. He's debuting new gear in catering tonight. He's got a flag with a... He's got a bib with a QR code on it.
His new Eaton pants.
The QR code's his allergy information. Lumberjack match was great. The stipulation was still a little apeshit, I thought.
Once the guys got out of the ring and were fighting in the crowd and they had to...
That's when it made sense, yeah.
The Lumberjacks had to be told by Kane to get them back into the fucking ring.
I will say when Kane got in the ring and everything went to chaos, I noticed Rollins disappear, and I thought for a second the ending of the match was just going to be like Rollins took his shit and leave. I was like, that's going to be kind of a cool cop-out ending to the match. No, he just smacked Ambrose in the back of the skull with a briefcase and got the pin. There is, of course, already talk that Night of Champions will feature the two of those in some sort of a hardcore stipulation match. Two of those? Two of them. I'm an English major.
Two of those guys.
Two of those guys match, fight hard, good, go, rawr, ding.
Which...
Still better than JBL's commentary.
If they are going to have a hardcore match at Night of Champions, like they just had one at Raw. It'd be kind of pointless. And I thought that the whole thing at Raw was to write Ambrose off because he's going to do a movie.
They should keep Ambrose off TV until Night of Champions. They should put Rollins in a different match, but have Ambrose interfere at Night of Champions. And then that should piss off Rollins so much that he demands a Hell in a Cell match with Ambrose. At Hell in a Cell! Booking!
That's the idea of those two in a Hell in a Cell scares the shit out of me.
Admit it, that'd be a hell of a match.
It would be.
One of them would probably be dead, but it'd be a hell of a match.
We would witness a murder on pay-per-view. Inadvertent. Like, manslaughter. Manslaughter, not murder.
Vince just like wanders by. He's like, what kind of match do we put them in? What?
He's running out of the ring to just stop everything. It's like, you put them in what? No, Rollins, no, don't jump off the cage. It's taller than when Mick did it. No. Who booked this match? God, you're all fired. Seth, get down. Down.
Just imagine Vince is screaming, who booked this match? And they just hand him an iPod with our podcast on. Why do they have so much nerd shit in their room? Oh, it's just the name of the podcast.
No, it's real, Vince.
What's a podcast? Is that on the radio?
These two guys are just talking. When are they going to play music?
You can't say that on the radio. They say fuck a lot.
That's 2014, Vince.
What?
In case no one noticed, we had nothing to talk about this week. We're stretching.
Oh, dead air. Following that up, Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho, with Rowan and Harper banned from ringside. Another match that I thought was pretty good. Wyatt winds up getting the win. I mean, good match, yay.
Yeah, it had no real bearing on anything. It was like, okay, he won, but...
Hey.
I mean, I guess that means that on Monday he got to say, I won. Finally. I don't think he's won a match on pay-per-view until now, but...
Didn't he beat Bryan on a pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah, he beat Bryan at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but who hasn't beaten Bryan on pay-per-view? I guess Triple
John
H.
Cena. John Cena. Batista. In a way, I guess Batista beat Bryan on a pay-per-view. Just, you know, beat him to the ring for that Royal Rumble.
Ha!
Burn! Jericho and Wyatt rematch, of course, being talked about already for Night of Champions. Because rule of three. That is also Jericho's last date with the company on this tour, as he has referred to them as interviews.
Of course, if every match that has been talked about going to happen at Night of Champions, there's going to be 14 fucking matches on this show.
There is, I did see a, we'll talk about it in a minute, I did already have a, rumored match card based on how the booking looks backstage now. I'll try to find it in a minute.
I think I saw that too, but I saw it on WrestleZone and they yeah. report bullshit all the time, so I'm not really putting too much water in that.
Yeah, yeah, WrestleZone is where I saw it. It did not look like a very good card.
Well, it looked like SummerSlam.
Yeah, it's SummerSlam 2. But with a U.S. title match thrown in there somewhere because Night of Champions. Oh god, Sheamus still has a belt. Fuck, put him on the card. Put him on the card. Are we paying him? Potatoes, right? We pay him in potatoes? After that... Oh, by the way, the flag match, 8 minutes 55 seconds. The lumberjack match, 10 minutes 52 seconds. Wyatt Jericho, 12 minutes 57 seconds. Like I said, short matches. Yeah, they didn't.
I'm wondering, like
these are bell to bell times I'm pulling off Wikipedia.
Right, but it's like, what happened? There was a 3-hour show.
There was a lot of posturing and walking around and talking about Lesnar Cena. I think that's one of the reasons it was such a good pay-per-view. Everything was, like, straight to the point, good matches, and, you know, go on with your life.
Watch wrestling and move on with your life. God.
Watch wrestling, move on with your life. Following that, Stephanie McMahon and Brie Bella, if you took Melina and Chyna and you, like, slammed them together and fused them into one just terrifying monster, and then you, like, stripped that monster's clothes off and put them on Stephanie McMahon, you would have the ring gear Stephanie McMahon wore out to SummerSlam. That being said, Stephanie McMahon's ring gear at SummerSlam.
Yeah, you got the whole black leather thing, don't you?
For a woman who has had two kids?
Four kids. Wait, four? Three. Right in the middle. We'll get this number right eventually. Jesus Christ.
Triple H is going to get that son. It doesn't matter how many times he has to knock her up. He's going to get that goddamn son. A match that was slightly better than a Brie Bella promo. Not a bad match. A screwy ending, but really, where were you going to go with this? The whole point of this Brie Bella angle is because they want to keep Bryan kind of on the forefront of everybody's mind while he's out injured. Because as you can tell, the fans have just really forgotten about Daniel Bryan.
There was a guy that was injured and they wanted to keep him relevant. And so they did something where they like put him on commentary and he was really good. Remember when they did that with CM Punk?
Who?
It was some asshole. Are you
talking about Walking Dead enthusiast Phil Brooks?
Don't say that. They get mad when they use their real name.
No, that was Walking Dead enthusiast Phil Brooks. That's what he was credited as.
You're not supposed to use his real name.
That was the name he gave. You're allowed to use that name, Mr. AJ Lee. She should just change her ring name to CM Punk. She'll be so fucking over with the crowd.
AJ Punk.
They're chanting. Yeah, AJ Punk. Stephanie defeated Brie after Triple H and Nikki came down to the ring. Triple H first threw a ref like clear across the goddamn arena. And then
they're still pulling him out of the wall.
Filed under Triple H never puts anybody over, blah blah blah. Triple H did sell a Brie Bella dropkick like he got shot in the chest with a goddamn shotgun. It was like, it's like, on the one hand, good on you for selling that kick, Triple H. Good on you for putting her over right there. On the other hand, she is like a third your size.
It was kind of like how Shawn Michaels was overselling everything in his match with Hogan.
Yes.
It was that level of selling.
If he had just, like, rolled all the way back up the ramp, I would laugh my ass off. I get why he did it, but at the same time, if she had done that and he had just kind of, like, moved back a step and then just glared at her, I would have laughed really hard, too. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Nikki jumps to the ring. Stephanie crawls, tries to crawl out. She doesn't get it. Stephanie crawls towards Brie. And then Nikki does, like, a Dark Knight Rises Batman elbow to the face of Nikki or Brie. Fuck it. I hate twins. They don't even look alike anymore. One's got huge boobs and the other can't talk on a microphone to save her goddamn life. She should get huge boobs. She should get huge boobs. It's made you forget the other one can't talk.
But it's like, it was really confusing because at the end, after Nikki turned on Brie, she was looking really upset.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, okay, they're going to run with an angle that she was, like, bought off or blackmailed or something. And
nope.
She didn't actually want to do this. And then on Raw comes out, well, Brie's always stolen the spotlight. It's always been about Brie, and I'm glad that I turned on her. It's like, what? That's not what your face was saying last night after you did it.
Man, if only Nikki had a boyfriend who was, like, some sort of voice of reason in the company who would have had a reason to come out there. God.
Mm.
Damn. I don't know who. Fuck. Shit. Any ideas who that could be? CM Punk.
Big E?
Big E, yeah. Tonight, the role of John Cena will be played by Big E. Following that, the match that put me to sleep. Roman Reigns, Randy Orton. Oh, Stephanie and Brie was 10 minutes, 16 seconds. But there was also like 20 minutes of other bullshit. You know, like sad face Nikki.
Who was actually really happy, apparently.
I'm so sad. I'm so sad because I've wasted so much of my life not betraying you.
I should have turned on you when we were five.
Oh, I should have turned on you in the womb. Roman Reigns and Randy Orton in a 16-minute, 17-second long rest hold spectacular. There were some good spots in there. The spear countered into a flip thing that I can't remember the name of right now. Help me out here, Mike.
Power slam.
Power slam. I thought that was a really cool spot. I thought that looked really good. Goldust should be pissed that Randy Orton did that move better than Goldust usually does, but it still looked good.
I've been saying that about Randy Orton for years, that he does a lot of stuff really sloppy looking, but he has a beautiful power slam.
He does. The thing I am looking for most here right now with Randy Orton is him being back in the upper mid card, not in the main title scene. Because I don't know if you remember this, but when he got initially sent to SmackDown right after the last draft, before they had him contend for the title because there was still the whole two strikes thing and they weren't ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just kind of floating around the upper mid card. That was a really fun Randy Orton.
Okay.
That was a more fun Randy Orton than we have right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was also a much younger Randy Orton.
It was like a year ago.
No, because a year ago he was in the title picture.
Well, it was like 2 years ago then.
Are you talking about like the whole time when he was like feuding with Christian?
Yeah, right around that time. You just don't like Christian.
No, I do like Christian. I'm kind of lukewarm on Randy Orton.
Well, I mean, I fucking hate Randy Orton right now. I liked him better than that. I found him to be at least enjoyable then, whereas now I rest holds and RKOs.
See, I didn't like that Randy Orton because it was kind of like he was heel and face depending on who they wanted to put over that month.
Right.
And it's like, this time we want to put Christian over, so he's going to be a heel, but next month we want to put Kane over, so he's going to be a babyface, and then the next month he's a heel again, and it just... he was just whoever, he was just a filler opponent for whoever they were trying but to get over.
He's a Viper. Don't trust anybody. DTA Randy Orton. Wait, that's somebody else's gimmick, Randy. Hang on, Randy.
Legend Killer 316. What?
Randy Orton 316 says, and then he just stares blankly at the camera for 10 minutes. My name. We fucking get it. Speed it up.
That match was actually longer than the main event.
By 11 seconds.
Still? Still longer.
But the main event was so good. Roman Reigns won that after, didn't he counter an RKO and go straight for a spear or something?
Yeah, they had a cool little back and forth who's going to hit their finish first, and he hit the spear and won.
Yeah.
It took a while for him to get to it, but once the match kind of warmed up, it had a good second half of the match.
Yeah, the good fourth quarter of the match, I'll say. The first three quarters of the match were about the time Reigns hit that Superman punch is when it picked up. By the way, the Superman punch for Reigns, I don't mind him having a Superman punch, and I don't mind the like cocking setup thing he does.
No, I think that's actually kind of cool, especially when he does it to multiple guys.
It's when he afterwards occasionally, he's only done it a few times, after the punch holsters his fist that I go, okay, Roman, that's a little lame.
It's not actually a shotgun.
Because, like, I saw him do it at the last pay-per-view where they were the Shield. I think he cocked it, and I'm like, here comes the punch. That's so cool. And he punched. I'm like, that's awesome. And then he, like, holstered it, and I'm like, calm down, buddy.
Your arm's not actually a gun. Chill out.
I just imagine he's on a shooting range, just, like, very confused. Like, wait.
Everyone around him shooting stuff, and he goes running down the gun range, punches the target.
Just fucking demolishes a target. I like to imagine like Ambrose is there like, what?
He can't do that. Sure he can.
You go tell him he can't.
Titty Master says that he can.
So of course the main event.
Suplex Fest.
I said last week I wasn't a huge fan of the idea of Cena versus Lesnar again because we'd seen it so many times, but at the same time, it's usually a really good match. It was a really good match. I don't feel like you could call it a match, but it was a really good series of suplexes for 16 minutes. 16 German suplexes. One STF that just got kind of shrugged off. The absolute destruction of John Cena.
Which, after that just horrendous beatdown, he's invoking his rematch clause for Night of Champions.
No, it's fucking hilarious.
It's like he's signing up for a second ass-whipping.
He spent a month saying, I've been in the ring with Brock Lesnar, I know what to expect. Now he's like, okay, no, this time, really? I know what's coming.
For real now. Last time, I didn't know, but this time...
I thought I was too heavy for him to suplex, but now I know he can suplex me a lot.
Well, remember the first time they fought, Lesnar was still battling diverticulitis, so...
Still battling diverticulitis.
He was weakened, and now we have a
50%.
We have a full 100% Brock Lesnar now.
But that doesn't explain how Triple H beat him. I mean, it took him 4 tries, but he beat him.
Because he got that concussion after he fell off the rail.
He was just not feeling good. CM Punk almost beat him once, but Paul Heyman interfered. But I think he had a head cold that week. So he was only like 75%. But 1,000% for this match, and that meant 16 suplexes.
Which a lot of people criticized this match, saying that it was ugly, it wasn't pretty, it was just a glorified squash match. But I think that
that's the point.
Yeah, for the shoot fighter Brock Lesnar character that they're trying to build... Shoot fights ain't pretty. He's not going to be doing the shooting star off the top rope. He's not going to be doing all these flips and dives and all this shit that he...
I don't think Brock Lesnar's going to try that shooting star press anytime soon. No. Not after the last time he did that in a WWE ring.
But it's like that's not the Lesnar we're going to get anymore. We're going to get the UFC, I'm going to sit on you, I'm going to beat the dog shit out of you, and then I'm going to take your championship.
I would love it if Cena came out and did a promo. It's just like, hey, Brock, remember that time you got on the top rope and almost killed yourself? What happened there, buddy?
Have you ever seen the video of him actually hitting the shooting star press? Like, landing it?
Yes, it's a very good-looking shooting star press. It's terrifying to see a man that size do that.
Yeah, and that was, like, back when he was young and kind of roided out and just this massive human being flying through the air.
I've seen that and I thought it was very impressive, and I've seen him botch it against Kurt Angle. I thought that was also very impressive, but for a totally different reason.
Yeah, it's impressive that he didn't die.
It's impressive that he still finished the match.
I still love that I was actually at the arena for that. That was so good.
I do love now. I think I saw an interview with him talking about it. He's like, yeah, I won the match after that. I don't remember it, but I'm told I won the match after that. Oh, Jesus.
Even though that match also had a guy three rows in front of me. When you've got Brock Lesnar, like two-time NCAA wrestling champion, Kurt Angle, Olympic wrestling champion, they're actually doing like hold-for-hold stuff. And a guy like three rows down from me yells, quit wrestling and whip his ass. Like, you got two wrestlers.
That's probably the same guy who called this SummerSlam match too dirty.
Yeah, you got two wrestlers at WrestleMania, and you're mad that they're wrestling.
Oh, my God. What a good match. What a good feud. It's a shame nobody wants to rehire Kurt Angle.
Well, would you?
No.
It's like, that guy's a liability. He's going to die in the ring.
You read about that, right? He called Triple H to try to get back in WWE.
Yeah, I heard that he called Triple H. Triple H said, thanks, but no thanks. And then he called Vince McMahon, who said, no, it's all up to Hunter.
Which only served to piss Triple H off more, because now Kurt Angle's gone over his head.
Yeah, you went over my helmet? Not exactly over, more to the side.
I couldn't clear the nose, Hunter. Somebody also mentioned, I think I saw it in WrestleZone too, that Kurt Angle doing that kind of highlights that maybe there's not much going on with Global Force Wrestling, because there would be a company he could go be like the guy for. We don't really know who Global Force has yet. So maybe they don't really have much of anything right now. That being said, it's still very early stages, so who knows?
Well, I think that he doesn't want to be the big fish in the small pond anymore.
Right. He has been saying he wants to retire at WWE.
Yeah, I mean, that's where he started, and he had a really good run there, and I think that it's right that he ends at WWE, and he could go to Global Force, but it's still with his ex-wife running it.
Yeah, I know he's saying he wants to retire at WWE, and this will probably be his last contract, but I think he's going to be like Flair and Hogan. I don't think he's ever really going to get out of it. I think he'll go away for a couple of years, but he'll be back.
Yeah. At least
Bill's got to get paid.
In some part-time capacity.
Yeah.
Well, he'll probably sign some sort of Legends deal at some point, and that'll pay the bills.
I think Angle would be a really good fit for WWE in some capacity right now, but that's not an in-ring capacity.
He'd be a hell of a trainer.
Hell of a trainer. God damn, he would be a great trainer. Could you imagine, like, the next generation of superstars with Kurt Angle and Jake Roberts on good terms with WWE to teach them in-ring and promo skills?
Jesus Christ. It would be...
Is that
it would be awesome.
It would be amazing. Never gonna happen. No. It's gonna be John Cena and Brie Bella teaching all that.
I don't want Brie Bella teaching anybody promo skills. Good Lord. Nikki!
Why does Sami Zayn keep calling everybody a bitch?
Really angry, too.
So weird. Sami Zayn just came out and grabbed the mic and was like, I've wrestled in 37 countries.
Bitch.
Bitch. Actually, that would probably be kind of awesome.
I'd just get everyone riled up. Attitude's coming back. They're saying bitch on television.
God damn.
Sami Zayn's calling everybody bitch for some inexplicable reason.
Sami Bitch Zayn making his way to the ring. Oh. Jesus. Such a bright future that will never be real. Somewhere in an alternate universe, everything we have said tonight has come true, and it is amazing. Unfortunately, we are in this universe.
Yeah.
Oh, so Lesnar's the new champ. Redesigned belt debuted on Raw. Very, very slight tweaks made to it that made the belt look a million times better.
Well, I think with the cleaner design of the belt that they were going for, having the scratch logo on it really kind of screwed it up.
Yeah.
The new angular network logo.
Well, there was that. The colors looked a little darker on it, too, and that made it look a little less cheap than it had before.
But, yeah, I think overall it's just a better design for that belt.
Yeah.
Like you said, clean. Everything's clean now.
Clean. Everything's clean and shiny. Just like the language on Raw, bitch. Raw, not really much to talk about other than another Paul Heyman promo that put over Cena as much as it put over Lesnar. Cena on Raw. He actually sold the injuries.
Which the... I know the main event was really good, but I think
that the event was spectacular.
They should have saved the unveiling of the belt for later in the show.
Yeah.
I'd say maybe even after the main event, just because it happened like at the end of the first hour, and then there was another hour that nothing happened.
Yeah.
Another hour and a half, because then nothing happened until the main event, and I tuned out.
Yeah.
It's like I had to catch the West Coast feed because I looked on Twitter and everyone was going, oh my god, that main event! And I was, okay, I'll watch that. But good lord, leading up to that, it was just a miserable episode.
I wish they'd go back to 2 hours. The first few weeks, the 3 hours were great because they filled it with a ton of matches, and now they just kind of tread water for the first 2 hours. There's no point in it. Maybe the first hour should be network exclusive or something, and that's where they can do a lot of promos and put some exclusive shit, and then do 2 hours on USA or something. There, I just sold your network for you. You know how much it would cost for you to do that, Mike? To watch that?
About,
do you know?
About $350.
Do you know? Yes. $22.50.
Then $350.
$350?
About $350.
If they really wanted to sell that network, they'd make it $3.16. Austin 316 says, I don't need the money to hawk this network, so I'm not going to show up and do it.
It's the Steve Austin special.
Steve Austin special. The Steve Austin special is you just get a fucking job and subscribe to the goddamn network. No, Rollins and Ambrose, great match. Ended with a curb stomp on six concrete cement blocks that were just, for some reason...
that were just there?
I'm staring and I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking back to every episode of Raw I've ever watched. And I'm like, no, those have never been there before.
I did think that too. Like, there's just a pile of cinder blocks inexplicably next to the announce table, and no one mentioned it, questioned it. It was just there.
I mean, if one of them, if Rollins just looked at it and just shrugged, whatever, I would have at least been like, okay, they acknowledge this is fucking stupid. It's like a whole backstage arena where they could have been like, this is where we keep fucking cinder blocks. And it would have made sense. No, there's just a pile of fucking cinder blocks in the corner by the announce table for some reason.
Yeah, they got all manner of junk in the backstage of the arena that they could have, in a Falls Count Anywhere match, have gone back there and used with no one questioning it. But for the pile of cinder blocks to just be sitting ringside under a blanket.
It's worth noting that's probably because the other stipulations were no disqualifications and what was the other one? No holds barred.
No holds barred, no disqualification. The same match.
And Falls Count Anywhere.
Falls Count Anywhere is a no DQ, no holds barred match where you can pin on the floor. Same rules.
Somebody asked what the difference between those three matches were, and they were like, well, if Falls Count Anywhere wasn't the chosen match, they wouldn't have tried to pin Ambrose on the ramp. That's it.
They couldn't
That's
the have only tried difference. To pin him anywhere else. Oh my god, yeah. That
that
was
and
a really
cinder
good
blocks.
Match if you just kind of let wrestling logic take over, and okay, there's cinder blocks there. Logically, though, why would there be cinder blocks there?
Curb stomp through the cinder blocks, and then a really cool follow-up story on WWE.com that Ambrose was apparently like, I'm fine, and hasn't been seen since. Somewhere in the woods right now, there's a crazed man wearing a leather jacket who sounds like he's doing a lot of cocaine, but he just sounds that way. Don't be afraid.
Just sprinting through the Nevada desert.
Are you telling me Biker Ambrose is going to debut Monday night?
Yes.
Dean Ambrose is like, me and the Big Show were in the desert. Big Show's backstage like, wait, we were what?
We weren't in the desert, Dean.
Dean, are you okay, buddy? I'm fine.
I'm the American Bad Ambrose.
Oh. He wouldn't come out to Roland. That's not relevant anymore. He'd have to come out Five Finger Death Punch or something. Eminem, maybe?
I don't know what bands are relevant now.
I don't know anymore. I'm old. I know... Britney Spears, is she still a thing? NSYNC, are they still together?
Would you not pop if crazy fucking Ambrose came out to a Britney Spears song?
To Crazy by Britney Spears?
There you go.
I would, actually. Is he dancing as he makes his, like, ironically bad dancing as he makes his way down the ramp?
Of course.
I fucking love Dean Ambrose.
He's just wearing, like, increasingly insane gear.
You know, for a pay-per-view, he's going to come out in that, like, red leather catsuit you wore. And then he has a gimmick infringement match with Goldust.
I was just thinking that. It's like he's going to just slowly become Goldust.
Cody Rhodes is already doing that. It's not working out very well for him.
Maybe Dean Ambrose is the cosmic key.
I don't want to know what that implies.
He's the key master, and Stardust is the gatekeeper.
Oh, my God. Goldust is standing behind him screaming, "Don't cross the streams!" Why don't we get the book? I can't figure it out.
I don't know. McMahon, we could save your goddamn company.
By the time he hears this, it's going to be 2035. What's a podcast? Confused old out-of-touch McMahon is the best McMahon. That's your wrestling. There wasn't much else on Raw.
No, there wasn't
much else
to talk about this week.
Sad face Nikki, but I mean, you know, I really don't remember anything on Raw beyond that.
No, that's another thing. If they want to keep people's attention for 3 hours, is not start the show with a half hour promo.
Yes.
It's like start with wrestling because nothing kills an audience faster than the fellas trying to act.
I did have to wonder. I know we're all talking about Roman Reigns as the future of wrestling and blah, 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 and whatnot, but I can't help but notice that Rollins and Ambrose are closing out Raw, and Reigns is somewhere in the middle in a tag match against Randy Orton, and I can't even remember who it was against. I know it was the Usos and Reigns, and then it was it Orton and Rybacksel?
No, it was Reigns, RVD, and Sheamus.
Yes.
Against Orton and Rybacksel.
Yeah, the fuck's up with that, man?
I don't know.
There was a report Triple H and Vince are kind of arguing over who should dethrone Lesnar. Triple H wants it to be Reigns.
And Vince wants The Rock.
Vince wants The Rock. I don't think The Rock is the solution because who could dethrone this part-timer? I don't know, another part-timer? Fuck it.
Yeah, nothing's going to say our roster is shit than having to bring in another mercenary to take out the first mercenary.
God, that fucking promo. Brock Lesnar only does this for money. John Cena does it for hugs and kisses.
Although someone made a really good point that it's like if all Lesnar cares about is money, then they should have started off Raw with Seth Rollins coming out with the Money in the Bank. Lesnar comes out with the belt. Triple H hands Lesnar just a shitload of money. He lays down. Rollins cashes in, wins the belt.
Problem solved. Is it like just one of those big Scrooge McDuck's money bags?
Yeah. It's got the money yes. Symbol painted on the side.
Here you go, Brock Lesnar.
And Lesnar does a shooting star press into his vault of gold coins.
And breaks his neck, because that's not how physics work.
I want to Photoshop that now.
That's our show for this week, everybody. Send us your SummerSlam thoughts. Tweet at the homeworld, hashtag RFNS. I say that because hashtag Scrooge McDuck shooting star press is too long.
Shooting star Scrooge.
Shooting star Scrooge.
Scrooging star.
Scrooging Star Press. Lather and Blatherskites, this has been a bad episode. Send us your thoughts about Raw, and next week we won't read them because we'll be talking about something else.
Yeah, the stuff but that you might send us for this week's podcast is going to be irrelevant by next week, so we won't talk about it.
I mean, so you better send us something like really funny, otherwise we won't be inspired to read it. Also send us your best Photoshops or drawing of Brock Lesnar reenacting DuckTales moments. Any DuckTales moment. Send me a drawing of Brock Lesnar pogo sticking on the moon. I will post that shit everywhere.
Off to Google to find me some images now.
Brock Lesnar just like, my money! The Brock Lesnar DuckTales game is much more violent than the actual DuckTales game.
He's using his pogo stick to impale John Cena's all over the moon.
16 German pogo sticks to John Cena. I think that was my favorite comment I saw. Lesnar hit 16 German suplexes, or as the four-man German announce team called them, suplexes. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. Follow Mike on Twitter at NoDiceMike, and buy some art from him.
Yes, all the arts.
All the arts. And follow me on Twitter at JCBaggy. You can give me money, but I can't draw, so I make no promises. You'll get the coolest stick figure, though. It won't even be a good stick figure. You'll be like, his hair's weird. And I'll be like, I already spent your money, and hang up the phone. And for other episodes, go to thehomeworld.net.
Because these people are calling you to complain about the stick figure that you gave them?
Yes, because I am a shrewd businessman. And also go to youtube.com/homeworldvideo. There's a new Super Sentai single shots this week. Dynaman! And it's really bad shaky cam video. God, I rewatched just a little bit of it, and it's like, oh yeah, this sucks.
Yeah, that's...
But the commentary is funny.
That's one that made me nauseous.
Well, they all made you a little bit nauseous, but for varying reasons.
That one gave me motion sickness nauseous.
The Let's Plays will be coming back to the channel soon, because I got my haposh fixed! I didn't mention that in the show. My haposh is back!
Yay!
It just fucking...
So now we can...
just showed up.
We can finally finish Ninja Turtles week.
I got nothing else to do. We'll do that soon.
Yay!
Yay! Brock Lesnar pogo sticking on the moon! Thanks, everybody. Bye.